People from every walk of life and across the world have reacted to the death of Nelson Mandela. Amongst the many world leaders, including Pope Francis, who has expressed his hope that future generations of South Africans will be inspired by Mandela's example to put common good at the forefront of their political aspirations. I spoke to Jesuit Father Anthony Egan of the Jesuit Institute in South Africa, who wrote an article today focusing on what Mandela's life means for us from a theological point of view.
I think, you know, we have a lot of analysis of political roles and things, but then I think we need to sometimes look at the question of how does a secular person like Mandela, a politician, fit into what we would call the work of God in the world? And one of the things that struck me as very significant is the fact that so many of the things he did in his life, so many of the ways in which he approached the political, can be sort of read through the lens of Catholic social thought. And from that perspective, you know, trying to unpick the life and see how different themes in Catholic social thought are played out in a person's life without him even probably knowing what Catholic social thought was, because he wasn't a Catholic at all. I mean, he was, if anything, a Methodist.
Speaking about Catholic social thought, you speak of dignity of persons and human rights. You speak of an option for the poor and the vulnerable. You speak of Mandela being a defender of peace and disarmament. And you also mention the word solidarity. In your mind, are these all issues that Mandela stands for or is an emblem of?
Yes, I think they certainly are. I mean, and, you know, obviously it's not without controversy or debate because, you know, he was a guerrilla leader. He was, in fact, one of the first ANC people, probably in the mid-1950s, to say, I suspect we're going to have to use force in this struggle for democracy here. But nevertheless, I mean, Mandela's basic concern, South Africa, was basically human rights for everybody, respecting the dignity of all people, and trying to create a society where, in a sense, we square the circle, that the, you know, the historic injuries of the past don't come back and bite us to the extent that we cannot function in the future. And in that way, to try and reconcile, you know, the winners and losers in a kind of political sense, but also, you know, those who have committed great, you know, harm against the majority of South Africans with the majority of South Africans who might, you know, on a reasonable level, consider it quite rational to, in a sense, extract vengeance, which never happened. And I think that was all to do with Nelson Mandela, because he realized, I think while he was in prison, that, you know, that both sides were going to be in South Africa until the end of time, and that there had to be a way in which we could all find common ground. And, you know, even so far back as the 1960s, I mean, I wouldn't even put it into the 80s, with the way Mandela conducted himself in prison, the way in which he organized his fellow prisoners, mostly from the ANC, but from other political organizations as well, on Robben Island, to basically say to the guards, we will treat you with respect if you treat us with respect. And so the whole idea of dignity of people comes out so strongly, and if you look at his autobiography, it is about dignity. It is about respecting myself and respecting others and expecting others to do what I do to them. So you can see the sort of the resonances, even though they aren't necessarily, you know, explicitly, you know, quoting from the Bible or quoting from theology as such. There is a whole Christian ethic underlying, I think, all of what he did, particularly the way in which it was a difficult time. And, you know, he wasn't a perfect person by any stretch. And yet he recognized, you know, his own faults and weaknesses and was determined, you know, not to let anger or a kind of resentment or even self-interest get in the way of his central goal, which was democracy for South Africa and, you know, getting South Africa on the way to being a more equal country.
Well, he certainly has become, across the world, a symbol of peace and reconciliation, which are very Catholic teachings, aren't they?
Yeah. I think certainly he does that. And it's interesting, too, he does it in such a way that, as I say, echoes Catholic social thought in many ways, because if you read Catholic social thought, unless you're aware of its origin, you quite often would find that it's highly philosophical. It's also very often quite secular in tone, and I think deliberately so. Because if we are to claim that Catholic social thought is true, we can't just simply say true for us. It has to have some kind of universal meaning which non-believers, non-Catholics, non-Christians, people of other faiths can read and say, yeah, on a rational level, on a psychological level, that makes sense. And from there we can in a sense proceed. And I think great thing about Catholic social thought is it does give you that space for common ground, common encounter with those outside of the church and outside of faith.
Pope Francis has this morning sent a telegram of condolences to the president of South Africa, as one does in these occasions. But it's a very special telegram. He really pays tribute to the man, and he expresses his hope that generations of South Africans will be inspired by Nelson Mandela for the future of their own political aspirations. Would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I think that's a very generous and a very kind statement, but also I think it's a very pointed one, because in a sense, we are coming up for an election next year, and for the first time in the history of a sort of fully democratic South Africa, there is a generation who were born after apartheid. And I suspect the great temptation, the great risk, is that we forget. We forget the struggle, and we forget now the challenges that continue in South Africa. And, you know, there are all kinds of different ways in which the election process could become, you know, I don't want to say politicized because it's the nature of the beast for an election to be political, but to be manipulated, whether by those who say, now that Mandela's gone, right, you know, enough of this being nice to each other, let's just, you know, get down to what we want to do. Or for those who might want to use Mandela's memory as a kind of tool to you know, to garner support, I really fervently hope that, you know, since the example of Mandela, which I do believe goes beyond party political affiliation, will be a kind of inspiration to people who vote next year to actually say, what is the good of the South African people as a whole? What is it we need? Where are we going to go in South Africa? We've made amazing strides in the last 20-odd years. I mean, I was just watching the television news of people outside of Mandela's house in Johannesburg, which, you know, the area he's in is basically used to be a white suburb. But here, there are a whole swathe of people of all backgrounds. And you see, in a sense, black and white people literally crying together. And that kind of stuff is really amazing. It's unthinkable. I mean, in my own life, you know, I almost couldn't have imagined that this would happen, that we'd have that kind of change in South Africa that we did in 94. And, you know, Mandela was one of the key players who helped to bring that about, together with a whole range of people from all different backgrounds. And I think really that message from Pope Francis, I would hope we take seriously, as we take seriously the legacy of Nelson Mandela.
Thank you so much, Father Anthony. Is there anything you'd like to say other than that?
Yes, I think I'd like to say that I hope we don't over-canonize Nelson Mandela. I mean, Dorothy Day had this wonderful remark. You know, I think she said at one point, for God's sake, don't make me a saint. Because then what you'll do is you'll put me in a little box and you'll define me out of existence. I mean, Mandela was a very deeply human man, with, you know, like all of us, mood swings, strengths and weaknesses. I mean, he could be stubborn, he could be aggressive. You know, he had a very difficult life, and his, you know, early life as a younger man, I mean, sort of went through two rather unfortunate marriages. And yet, despite that, you know, when we look at somebody, we shouldn't see at this stage the faults and weaknesses, but we should see them as, you know, truly a human person who has worked through their own difficulties and has managed to come out on the other side. And indeed, I would say come out on the side of the angels.